text us because we all want our sins to not be as big as everybody else. All right, we're at chapter 17, about gluttony. I always think of it as not that big a sin for personal reasons.
It's a socially acceptable sin.
It is a socially acceptable sin. You remember when Chip taught the ten lies we believe about God, and one of them are there are sins that God just doesn't mind. Mm-hmm. And that, I think, was one of them. And this is how we think about this. But then, wow, did he extend the whole gluttony thing. We seldom think of gluttony as a sin anymore. It's rarely preached about. That's what he says in here. And this, and Screwtape talks about the gluttony of excess, which is what we think about. We eat too much. And a couple years ago, remember we had that choir from France, and a lot of people kept them in their homes. And Doug asked them, "What is your overriding impression of America?" And the guy says, "Why do you eat all the time?"
Wow.
I mean,
we do.
He said, for them, breakfast is a croissant and a piece of fruit. And, you know, then they may maybe have something light in the afternoon, and they do have a bigger evening meal. He said they were with one family, and they had breakfast, and then they had a snack, and they went to the ball game, and they all had popcorn and hot dogs, and then they stopped and had supper, and he was just so funny. No wonder you look like you do.
What did they do in between?
I know. What about 11sies? What about second breakfast? I know. But then the demon introduces this idea of glutton of delicacy. And the glutton of delicacy is not that you eat too much, but that that food is used to control. To control other people, to get your needs met. Which I thought, wow, that's, like I said, I went over this a couple times. That's just so different for what I think of.
Yeah, I didn't think it was going to be this way. I thought it was going to be more overeating. But this
me too!
Not eating that much.
Right, and... Yeah, go ahead.
No, that's
the little old lady in there.
Yeah. Well,
by definition, isn't gluttony eating too much? I mean, is he kind of forcing the issue to make it mean that, or?
Well, I kind of felt like he took a broad topic and went somewhere else, but he says, "But what do quantities matter, provided we can use a human belly and palate to produce querulousness, impatience, uncharitableness, and self-concern." So when he's talking about gluttony, either excess or the gluttony of delicacy, basically he's assuming being gluttonous is using your desire for food as a way to get power. And I still think it's kind of an interesting. But he talks about, in this case, the little lady who is, they call it the patient's mother. And she'll go to a wonderful dinner and she'll say, "Oh, please, please, all I want is a cup of tea, weak but not too weak, and maybe the teeniest, weeniest bit of really crisp toast." So for her, she feels she's being very sanctimonious. She's not going to partake in all these riches, but she's caused a whole lot of work for everybody else who have picked this big, made this nice dinner. Or she'll go to a restaurant and the waitress will bring her a plate. And he says, the overworked waitress. And she'll be like, "Oh, I can't eat this much. Oh, my goodness, the waste. Take it back. I only want a quarter of it." And for her, she's being very self-righteous. "I am not a glutton. I do not eat to excess." But she's still using food as a way to get her demands met. So it's kind of interesting, because what he's saying is the key to it is that her stomach, her belly, her desires dominate her whole life. Either she is, I know. See, I do have a relative, and I kind of get this. I like I said, I'm working my way through it. I have this relative who I dearly love, who is very much like the mother in here. We don't sit down to meals. She'll be like, "Well, I'm not going to eat that. Oh, I only want half of that." She can make an equal packet last a week. I'm not kidding. She almost counts the grains. And it's, wow. I got to be honest, it's exhausting sometimes. It's like, "Will you please just eat the meat?" "Oh, it smells wonderful, but I don't eat bacon." I mean, it's just, but it becomes like the center of the conversation. What I can and cannot. You know what I mean? And so... You know, it's like, you know, hey, we're all getting lattes. Oh, I'll split one with two of you. Oh, my gosh. So I think that's what he's kind of talking about, is it's, because in the end, he actually ties it into chastity, which really threw me. Like, where did that come from?
Yeah, I know. That whole chapter.
Didn't it?
Yeah.
I know. This is a weird chapter, Alma. I see a look on your face. That was mine, too. Like, I go, are you sure this is the chapter you want me to do? Yeah.
Yes, that's what he was.
Yeah. Oh, I know. He did. He said that. I'm going to make you do gluttony. Because he talks about this as it's a way, it's almost like a lustful way of getting attention. And he says, and I had to laugh, he said, like, with men, it applies to their vanity. Like, well, I know the best restaurant, and he says, which has the best steaks. It's more of a, I know how real food is done. With a woman, he's saying, and one of the, I looked up all these websites, and one of the questions on one of them was, in this gender-confusing society, does this chapter still apply? It was pretty funny. But, you know, he says, with men, it's a pride thing. You know, and of course, this was written during the time where a wealthy man was to be considered, would be portly on purpose. Because that showed that you were well off.
Yeah, it would have.
And during the romantic, you know, the romantic period, a woman should be a little chunky because it showed that her needs were being met. You know, that she was not starving, she was not the poor. But when this was written, a man should be portly to show that he could meet all his needs. But what he's saying is then gluttony has become a matter of pride. I know the best places. I know this. And he goes back to saying, he says, gluttony basically comes down to power. Us wanting our needs met or some kind of control. I know. See, that was me all yesterday afternoon, that look. I know. It's a weird chapter stuck in the middle of this.
I think we'd be better off just not using the word gluttony.
Okay, what could we say?
Replacing it with vanity?
Yeah.
Okay.
It sounds like that's kind of where...
Yeah, I like that, with vanity.
Gluttony's overeating.
When he talks about the gluttony of delicacy, maybe the gluttony of vanity. Yeah, I like the word vanity better.
I mean, to me, he's going through the chapter, he's addressing several different sins that can be categorized as pride, the lust for power, narcissism, all these different things, and just throwing it all in there and relating it to food, which I think is a pretty broad stroke, because I could take almost everything mentioned in this chapter and relate it to some other aspect of life, whether it be the lust for money or just wanting to be powerful in general, because everything that you're doing there, I could use something else the same way. I mean, I could show off my house. Would that be gluttony? Like, oh, well, no, I don't live in a big extravagant house like you do. I live in this little two-room shack over here. And I've got a $250,000 car in the driveway, but I live in a little shack. I mean, so to... Well, the points are valid
right,
as far as dealing
right.
with the sin involved, but for each point, you have named a different sin. You've named, you know, this lust for power or all these other things. Vanity, pride, all these, and they're all valid, but to throw them in under gluttony, I think is a long way to make your point.
Well, he says, I agree with you. He says, question five, and we have their book, it's on page 66. What is the all I want state of mind? Because the new believer's mother always says, all I want is. So it seems like I'm not really creating a problem,
that's
but she is.
That's just sanctimonious, like
that
you were saying.
On a pet peeve of mine.
That's just self-important.
And I know I do it, but when people pray and they ask for just this and just that, Lord, would you just... To me, it's minimizing God's glory in the whatever it is you're asking for. Now, I'm not asking for much. Just, he can do it without even touching a finger.
Yeah.
It's like, no, whatever it is, it's to His glory. And
Right.
So
right.
That
does stay in there. And I know exactly what you're saying, Ben, because I think he is. I think he ties all this in. But it's almost like, well, see, usually I think of gluttony as a lack of self-control. But he says it's actually a way to control others.
Yeah, I don't. That's not what I read in the Bible.
See, I don't know. It was just a different.
I'm not saying that's not a real issue with people. It's a very.
Right.
That's right. What people love to do, and we all do that.
Yeah, that's
we right. use our own drama, we use money, we use whether it's sex or
because in the end he ties into chastity. Like you take these same attitudes toward almost like the lust of life.
Right. You could use anything right. in your life for control. But to say that's gluttony, it's like, that's, I don't find that in the Bible.
Well, and see, he does say, what does gluttony and, what do gluttony and sexual immorality have in common as far as self-control? And, I don't know. I have gluttonies preoccupied with food and drink, period. Being dominated by food. That's what I think.
Because God covers all that other stuff, but it's not under gluttony. He covers all that. But
I know.
It's not,
I know. Now, think of it this way. If this is supposedly from a demon's point of view, is that how the demon sees it? What were you going to say, Alma?
Oh, not having the book, I did not look up the word gluttony. By chance, did anybody happen to see what Webster says?
The dictionary on my phone says overindulging in food and drink.
See, so in a sense, it doesn't really apply.
I couldn't agree. I thought it was a strange chapter.
It's a much better.
Yeah, I like that. I'm going to mark in here. Let's change it to Vanny. And if you're listening to this, you've just changed C.S. Lewis, the Bible, point two.
Well, we can fix it for him.
Yeah, I agree. It's and I think the word gluttony really throws us. But on the other hand, though, I love the gluttony of delicacy, the gluttony of, I'm just going to manipulate you so that I still get my way. So they all do come under self-control. They all do come under, you know, I don't want to be a problem, but. And he says, now the one question is, and she says, all I want. So the author of this workbook wants us to think of, do we have all I wants in our life? We do manipulate people with, all I want is, all I want. And I couldn't think of, you know what I mean? Even that's kind of broad. But I'm thinking of, for me, you know, one of the struggles with for me is how far away my children are. My boys are across, you know, far, far away from me. And I don't see them very often. And I would think, for me, I could see how that would be if I was someone who had power, which I don't over them. But I would say, all I want is you to be home. All I want is you.
Guilt trip.
Yeah. And that, that I think, ties more in with vanity. But he said for us to look at the all I wants. All I want is. But yeah, that was just it's a different chapter.
But all I want is a moment kind of a thought. All I want, if I really said that, is this relationship with Jesus Christ as the believer and a deeper walk with God. But today I might want, I want to hear from my children.
Yes.
I want something, something.
Okay, I actually, of course my printer wouldn't work. Sure, of course it didn't. So, I took a picture of what I some stuff I got. Okay, here's a question somebody asked. How can this gluttony be a kind of artillery preparation for attacks on chastity? I know. It's a Lutheran site. That was a joke if you're listening. How can this, he says, gluttony of delicacy, where you act like I'm really being noble, but I still want my way? And he says, it's like a preparation for an attack on chastity. And I'm thinking that he's talking about, again, you're still being ruled by your felt needs. Being ruled by, I must have food, or I must have less, or I must have. And once you get that in your mind, that you must have it and deserve it, then you carry over into other areas.
There's no delayed gratification, working for something.
So is gluttony a lack of delayed gratification?
I would say yes.
Immediate?
How many times have you, like, for me, soda's one. You have it every day, and it's like, okay, it's all right. You don't have any for a long time. The next time you have one, it's like, oh, that's so good.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Like champagne.
I'm kind of going through a concordance site, dealing with the roots of the word and examples and all. And it's talking about someone who overindulges in food, who a riotous eater. And everything that I'm seeing in here, a voracious eater, a riotous eater, a carnivorous mammal, that it is definitely having to do with food. And the examples that I'm seeing is, and what it's discussing are people who eat. It gives this impression of somebody who is so consumed with eating that they will damage themselves, or as it says in there, waste their own body. So,
like the My 600-Pound Life, if anyone's ever read that.
Yeah, it's basically just eating. Food is your God. You're eating to the point of destroying your health, and you're just eating. You're eating yourself to death, and that's literally the only biblical reference that I can find to it. You know, Old Testament, New Testament. It's eating. It's loving food. It's eating to the point of making yourself sick and continuing to eat.
And
I'm sorry, contrary to what, I love C.S. Lewis. I adore the man. Mm. Hands down. Bless his heart. But I have to disagree with the premise. I think he's using a way too broad a stroke, trying to stretch something out, mean something doesn't. What I'm seeing, gluttony is all about selfishness, and it's inward. It is all about me, what I want, need, whatever. And I don't see any reference to it pertaining outside at all, whether being used for power or just to feel better about something. I don't see any of that. It's just literally about, I want food in my mouth. So, I mean...
Other things, too. I mean, some people would say cigarettes would fall under that.
Expect people to pay attention to us. I mean, because... Mm-hmm. I want to do all these things is a gluttony type of thing, so that people will pay attention to me.
Maybe this would apply more over in England, where isn't he from?
Yes, he's from England.
It would apply more over there than here.
I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, we're looking at it biblically. These are demons. They know the Bible. The whole point is that it relates biblically, and it's not about. I think from a biblical point of view, it's not about bad habits, it's not about smoking, it's not about sex, it's not about power, it's about food.
We have changed the way certain words are used in the English language since the time this was written, like to raise a building. We've been saying it going up, no, that's tearing
it down. Oh, right, right, right.
So I'm thinking maybe there could be something there in the way this was written and the time it was written.
It was a weird chapter. Does anyone ever watch the show Keeping Up Appearances? It's the BBC. No.
I don't like the way that looks.
Oh. All right. It's this English comedy, and there were four sisters, and Daddy was in the service during World War I, and they're all old, and they're Hyacinth, Rose, Daisy, and Violet. And Hyacinth tries to live above her station, and she answers the phone like, the bouquet, her name is Bucket, B-U-C-K-E-T, she refers to it as bouquet. The bouquet residence, the lady of the house speaking. And she's always one. She goes to a restaurant, she went, not bad, dear, now try really washing it. And she's like that. And that's what I thought of when I read this. She would never say she was glutton, but she makes food as her way to get power. I know. It's a weird chapter. Like I said, I went over it many times. I don't know. The one question they did ask, though, if we're going to call gluttony, and it's about food, how is gluttony an example of God versus religion, a relationship versus religion? Which I thought, now that is a good question. How does gluttony point out the difference in a relationship with God and being religious?
Self-desire.
Yeah.
Is my... I'm thinking... My own reference, I have a family reunion this afternoon, and I think, oh, what am I going to take, cover this kind of a thing. And I think, oh, but I want this. No, I went through a lot of cookbooks or this or that to find just the right thing, because I want to be appreciated. So that's a prideful kind of a thing. rather than a Christian kind of a relationship. Oh God, here I am, bare, sinful, needy.
But that's not gluttony. That's another. That's pride or whatever else you want to call it.
Well, but I'm relating it to food.
Right. Yeah. And that's what he's saying
choice.
Is food is used.
I
right.
searched some cookbooks. I
right.
Because unfortunately some of my members in the family are home economic teachers.
Oh, dear.
Whatever, but you know. So I needed to keep up appearances, I suppose. And that wasn't my real motive. I just wanted something.
Right.
But nevertheless,
right.
it was hidden. It was there. And that's a vanity, comes back to our vanity thing, using food for me to be appreciated by the family or something.
Well, you do. You do want people to
sure.
say, oh, who made this? Right. And my husband, like when we go to these picnics at the Prices, my husband always takes whatever I brought, whether he likes it or not, because he knows I'll look to see if anybody did. So he's always like, oh, do you see your beans are gone? Did you see that?
But anyhow, I'm trying to identify how food relates back in with it.
But see, most of us don't think it does, but food is a central...
It's a vanity.
It does. It shows a lot about... Doug always says that every decision you make is a spiritual decision. Mm-hmm. And that's just really...
No pressure.
I know. That changed the way I drive, in all honesty. I love fast.
Why do you put up with that?
So back to your question. Okay.
Yeah. No. Yeah, but the food, God versus religion. So if you are just continually imbibing, continually eating, continually meeting those appetites, there you go, then basically you are trying to meet your own needs. So that is, I think, religion, not relationship.
Well, I think of anorexia. On the other side of
see, he would call that the gluttony of delicacy. He
right.
would call that.
Uh-huh. And they're controlling it, and like you were saying, it's like, okay, look at me. I don't need to eat anymore.
Uh-huh.
Like, I mean, Jessie thinks
calling
she's fat.
Calling attention to herself again.
And like, where did that child get that?
Right. Right. Oh, my gosh, she's this big. Yes.
So, watching on that, too.
Relationship versus religion, I would relate that back to something I heard a pastor talk about years ago when they were discussing take it back to the New Testament, you know, people wouldn't eat meat.
Mm-hmm.
Even today, you know, well, we don't eat meat here.
Seventh-day
Why?
Times.
Because we're more holy than you.
Right, exactly.
Said, wait a minute, where did the Bible say you couldn't eat meat?
Right.
And he gave the analogy of, he was speaking on this and somebody came up to him, he says, like, look, eat what you want, it's your conscience, it's your relationship with God. You know, Jesus said, don't call unclean what I have called clean. Whatever you eat, give thanks to the Lord and go about your business. Quit worrying about it. And the guy said, you know, they were talking about eating food offered to idols versus, and all these different crazy reasons why people were, you know, it was holy not to eat meat back in the New Testament time. And somebody called to him and said, okay, so you're telling me if the Church of Satan down the street was having a chicken dinner fundraiser, had a roadside chicken stand out there, and you know, everybody was stopping. He said, you're telling me you go down to the Church of Satan and have some chicken? He said, well, it depends if I was hungry for chicken or not. And the point was, he's taking it back to the Bible and said, it's what comes out of your mouth, not what goes in it, that makes you clean or unclean. And it's about your conscience. If your conscience is convicting you, you better go eat somewhere else. But if you can do that, give thanks to the Lord, glorify God, and do this, then don't worry about it. Otherwise, it's going to be religion. I'm not
right.
doing that because I don't believe it's holy.
Right.
Versus, I'm going to eat it because it's chicken, and the Lord gives me the freedom to do it, and I'm going to thank Him for it. Okay, that's where I would see the difference between religion and relationship. But if I'm going to throw gluttony in there, I'm just going to say, okay, it depends on how much you eat. Because that's what I read the biblical meaning of life.
Right, right.
How much chicken you going to have?
Or chicken die.
You're going to need some chicken for somebody else, or you're going to eat all the chicken?
I kept looking at this chapter and was like, stop going to restaurants. Don't get in the restaurant then.
Well, and
she gives a little scream at the restaurant because they give her too much food. Well, don't go. Stay home.
Is that one of those 5-star restaurants? Can you like?
Yeah, that must be it. That was me.
Trying to curb your gluttony.
Well, and then I liked when, if you try to talk to her, she always says, "Oh, no, it's not for me. I just want it nice for my boy." You know, it's not
the
about
sinner.
Me. It's about him. Yeah. Yeah. So it was, all right, so if we're going to call it vanity, what he's saying then is we use physical need to be vain. And I think that's what he's saying, the physical need to be vain. The whole high horse, I don't eat meat, I do eat meat, I don't drink coffee, either too much or not enough. So, and if you're taking it to relationship versus religion, I know that overeating is a sin and I know it's not healthy. I mean, it is a sin. But I still, like, in the back of my head, have that idea it's just not that bad. You know, it's
well,
just...
Well, we've all kind of adopted that.
Yeah.
Well, oh, that's absolutely within
that,
church
the
society.
Ten Lies About God. That was the book, 10 Lies About God, and that was the one that, yeah, we kind of view it as an acceptable sin. Yeah.
Are they allowed to have personal preferences?
Keep going. I don't know what you mean.
Okay. But I really don't want... that much. I really don't want more saccharin in my tea.
Right.
I don't want, I don't know, I kind of...
Right. But I think it's with this lady, it wasn't so much her personal, it was a way for her to get power. I mean, at a restaurant, she causes a scene.
That's
so, yeah, so your personal preferences, yeah, she causes a scene, yeah.
You ever hear of a guy named Blaine Bartell? He had a ministry called Fire by Night. It was a youth ministry. He put out videotapes way back when.
Oh, my golly.
He had some great little skits and different things on there. He had this one. There was a bunch of monks. Back at Martin Luther was one of them. And they're sitting there singing, and they've all got a little piece of wood in their hand. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Bam! Praise him, all creatures, here below. Bam! And he keeps smacking himself in the head with the board. And of course, they have the hair thing.
The bald spot. Yeah, they're really
and, What was the song, Martin Luther? I'm drawing
A Mighty Fortress Is Our God.
Martin Luther comes running in the back. He slams the door when he comes in. He says, "Rejoice, brothers, I have written a new song. Almighty Fortress Is Our God." And he starts singing the song, and everybody turns out and goes, "Why you not hit yourself with board?" And he said, "Because it hurts. Why are we doing this?" And he goes into this whole thing about how they're doing these things. It's not that you're sacrificing for the Lord. It's you're harming yourself to look like you're sacrificing for the Lord. You're not denying self. You're just doing something to look holy. And the lady we're talking about, she's not sacrificing because it's going to further her relationship with the Lord. She's sacrificing so that people can see her being deprived, feel sorry for her, and admire her holiness.
What's the verse about praying in the closet as opposed to outwear?
Is it in Matthew? Is it in Matthew 6? I think it's in Matthew 6 because he goes, "But here's how you should pray," and goes into the Lord's Prayer.
Okay.
Does that sound right? Mm-hmm. I think it's Matthew 6.
So then we get into this discussion of, well, my closet is so uncomfortable, but that's where I pray.
Like the nuns who used to kneel on rice.
I got locked in for 6 weeks one time.
Right,
they
slipped right.
food under the door.
Right.
But I felt so holy when I came out.
Right.
Well, my closet's so much holier than your closet.
Well, this takes us to a modern day.
You got mold in your closet. Sorry, I'm sorry for that.
You have mice, at least you have company. Has anyone ever heard of Remnant? It's a church down in Gwen Shamblin, who used to do Way Down Workshop, which started off as a pretty good deal, pretty, you know, kosher. She had developed this these lessons on gluttony and how it is a spiritual and how so many of us overeat because we're not looking for satisfaction. It's about our walk with the Lord. We're not looking for satisfaction in the right places. As a stress eater, it sounded great. However, this woman has like gone totally off the deep end. She now looks anorexic. Her church, it's all about outward appearance. It's all about look. They've actually had people leave the church if they have put on too much weight.
Oh, my God.
It's called Remnant. It's down in Kentucky, Tennessee, maybe. And it's very interesting. She doesn't believe in the Trinity anymore. And she now, like, has this church. It's almost cult-like. I mean, it's a little funky. We actually have relatives that belong to it.
Sounds like a cult.
But they've taken this, the whole, the vanity, the, the delicacy that she called, remember he calls it the gluttony of delicacy, he decided to call it the vanity of, and it's very much like one of their sayings at church is three growls equals one bite. If your stomach growls three times, you should probably take a bite of something because you're hungry. But it's so rigid that what C.S. Lewis would say is this would be an example of that gluttony of delicacy. It looks holy, it looks good, but it's not. It really is about look how obedient I am. Look how I don't need food. It is. And so what C.S. Lewis is saying, so I thought of that insulin, it's really interesting to look them up, is it does come down to selfishness. It does come down to pride.
I can't see, like, when I go to a restaurant, I don't like going to restaurants anymore because they give me too much food. Mm. And I guess I would be the same as her when...
I just say, can I have a to-go box?
Yeah, it's like, this is too much food. I'd probably say that, too.
Yeah, but that's a different reason, though.
Yeah.
But that's for a different reason. Well, it's all about the appearance.
Exactly.
I'll draw the difference, the comparison between gluttony and greed. Okay, one is food, one is money. But I think there are two different roots. Greed is about control. I need to actively go get more of this.
Okay.
I want more of this. I want to hoard this. I am actively seeking something. With gluttony, I don't think it's about actively wanting so much as it is a complete lack of self-control. Because your body, your physical body doesn't give a rip about money. Money is irrelevant to your body. Okay, that's your psyche, that's your pride, you want more money. There's nothing more basic to life, possibly other than oxygen, than food. Your body wants food. Your body needs food. Eating is not a sin. You have to eat or you're going to die. Your body needs food. Your body wants too much food. Your body is always craving food. And it's not always craving, you know, three square meals, perfectly balanced food. Your body wants what tastes good, what makes it feel good, comfort food, whether it's all sugar or all carbs, all fat, whatever. Your body wants food. It wants food that makes it feel good. It wants it. And this is, I mean, that is the whole entire battle of the flesh. Your body wants what it wants. Sin. I want what I want when I want it, and I want it now. So I'm not going to exercise control. I'm not going to use my relationship with God to say, no, don't go out to the bar. No, don't go out, pursue this, pursue that. It's the most basic thing. It's food. I want it. And I'm not going to restrict how much I eat. So I get bigger and bigger and bigger. And I'm always eating. I'm always stuffing my face. I don't think about whether it's good for me. I don't think about... None of that is relative. I want food. I want more food. And I want it now. And it's just that complete not even trying to control, not surrendering this need or this want to Christ. I'm just going to indulge this urge that I have. So whereas, and it may look like you're going out because you need to get more food, that's just simply not control. It's just a complete lack of self-control, discipline, or willpower. You know, not giving that to God. Whereas greed is actively wanting to take something. Gluttony is just simply refusing to control it. Letting your body run wild.
I wonder how this chapter would be discussed in France. If you said those people from France were, how would they discuss this chapter?
It would be done with a French accent.
And croissants.
And croissants.
Croissants.
There's a phrase that makes on page 89. The insatiable demand for the exact. And like kind of gloss over what follows that. Mm. That insatiable demand.
Mm-hmm.
Gluttony. In her case, for the exact.
Mm-hmm. The all I want camouflage.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think what I finally took from this, like I said, this was, yeah. What I finally took from this is it is so easy to make our own desires God.
Mm-hmm.
It is so easy. And in her case, Have 4 cups of coffee this morning.
My conviction is now righteousness, and you need to adopt my conviction.
Right, but it's so easy. In her case, her little minute desires still gave her control. And in someone who overeats, you still are meeting your own needs, not really relying on him. So I just, that's what I took from that is, yeah, it is so easy to make ourselves God.
And
not even realize
it.
She what? Is she hogging out?
Is she hogging out when she gets home? Does she have, you know, a stash of Doritos in the closet?
She's probably sticking that extra food in her pocket, though.
Would you love to see her as that woman's waitress?
Yeah, that would be a good one.
Here's your meal. Oh, wait. Here,
yeah, really, that's exactly. It had gone right back in my own personal take-it-home bag.
Yeah.
But I was just thinking how it's, without realizing, you know what I mean? So that did make me think about me. You know, how easy it is to think, because I do, I mean, being a stress eater, on the way home, I would be like, so am I stopping at McDonald's for a milkshake? Are there Klondike bars still in the fridge?
Oh.
Where do I get a donut? Yeah, but that is meeting my own needs.
Who serves the best carrot cake?
Yes, yes, yes.
When you figure it out, let me know.
So this was written back in, toward the end of World War II?
Yes. Yes.
Things were different back then, too.
In some ways.
But people weren't.
Yeah. No, I don't think people have ever changed.
No. I figured exactly. That's why the Bible's so relevant. One of the reasons.
Yeah.
People are the same.
What were you going to say, Alma? You look like you had something you're processing. I can see it.
I know. I could never play poker.
I know. I could just see Alma thinking, well, what about this?
No, I don't know.
I like to just quote. Well, 1 Corinthians 9:27, when Paul says, I discipline my body. Now, the American Standard Version says, I buffet, B-U-F-F-E-T, which is also buffet.
That's what we always say, too. I always joke, that's my life verse. I buffet my body.
I buffet my body. So.
There's one in 1 Kings where they're sacrificing, and it says, the fat belongs to the Lord. I love that verse.
We did it.
But it's actually, he references about, I beat my body, because in some of the versions, the discipline... Okay, I discipline my body, and it literally, in the early Greek, means to beat black and blue. In other words, it is not easy. It is not easy. And if I had little Miss Hyacinth here, this dear sweet lady, and I would say to her, you control every situation by being just a little difficult, she would be shocked. That this really is power.
That's a good description.
Yeah, that really is
just
not
a little difficult.
Uh-huh.
Just
right.
To make
just
everybody
a
aware.
Little, just to make everybody aware, your needs must be met.
Uh-huh.
Maybe that is how he ties it into gluttony, because if you're doing that, your needs must be met first, where the glutton must have the last piece of pie, must have. So I don't know. This is one of those times I was thinking, man, I wish he were right here and I could be like, look, see. I don't get this chapter.
Yeah. Well, see, what you're describing with this woman, it's about other people. It's about other people's perceptions, her controlling other people, appearing a certain way to other people. But see, with gluttony, I see it's like, I don't care what other people think. I want more food. I want another cheeseburger.
But if we go back to my 600-pound life, which is a weird show, and I have watched it, but the gluttony, that is used to control their family. Like some of these people... I mean, they can't sit up. They have to be rolled over.
I think it's a byproduct.
Oh, it's disgusting. But they're like, their whole family waits on them hand and foot. Yeah.
Brings her a hot plate so she can cook in bed.
Yeah.
Pound of bacon.
I'll watch that.
Because it's like the old expression, you ever heard a bad tooth that you can't let go?
It's like roadkill.
It is roadkill.
I never watched that either.
No.
You never had like a hangnail that you just can't let it go? Or like a tooth that's bothering you, you just like... You have that piece of popcorn in your teeth. You just can't let it go. And you know, you can eat a toothpick, but instead for half an hour, we're going to do this. You just can't stop.
You know what?
I can't see your face.
Sorry, those of you on the tape missed my amazing facial expression.
Awesome. I mean, you'll learn a lot about people watching that. I'm not advocating the show. I'm just saying if you watch that, yeah, you'll learn a lot about people and the extent people can go to.
I don't know if I want to know that much.
Well, but and what about culture? This is an American show. Yeah, I don't know another country that has this show. That in our society we have this many people apply to get on this show. How many 600-pound people do we have in America?
Right.
Probably a lot.
Almost some of them are way bigger than
that. Whoa.
I saw a picture, and I can't remember what it was. We were sitting at the kitchen table or something like that. Something struck me. It was a picture from like 1961. It was an advertisement or something. It was a factory, and it was quitting time. And there were 500 people in the parking lot all heading for their cars. And it showed this big picture. And it's a very highly detailed photo for the time frame. And I'm sitting there watching it, and something just off. And I'm looking at it. My eyes kind of big. I'm like, there are no fat people.
Well, yeah, back then.
Nobody in that. You couldn't find one overweight person in that entire crowd to the point they stuck out.
And now it's the norm.
Nowadays, you'd have had to have another parking lot. You couldn't fit those people in that parking lot. Just from this sheer girth.
Disney World, they've had to revamp a lot of their old rides to accommodate the larger clientele.
Wow.
It's a small world after all, that ride.
Yes, apparently the world is not so small.
There are...
They replaced the boats a couple years ago.
Really?
Replaced the seats in them anyway, I forget how, but... Yeah, because they couldn't get people in them.
Well, you know, when Karen lived in Spain, every so often, they would post a picture someone took in America, and it would just be people walking, so it was everybody's backside. And it would be like, don't forget to exercise. We don't want to look like the Americans.
You look at...
Show for the paper.
The sizes of our clothes have changed. If you go back to, like, say, the 60s, a size, 12? Is a lot bigger now than a size 12 back then.
I had read before that Marilyn Monroe wore size 12.
Right.
She was not as big as me.
There are people who have to pay for 2 airline seats. Because
I did hear
you
that.
You cannot sit next to them if they're
I did hear that. Wow.
And
yeah.
And it's beyond the point the church sees it not only as an acceptable sin, but I'll take it a step further. You better not say anything about it.
Yeah.
Because you're fat shaming.
You're
being really inconsiderate.
Right. In our society today. Right, right, right.
So I would say it's gone beyond a socially acceptable thing. And I used to get uptight because I used to be a heavy smoker. And I got really irritated when somebody would preach a whole sermon on the dangers of cigarette smoking and how that makes the church look bad and everything, and you've got a whole church full of overweight people sitting there, and it is never talked about.
Yeah,
and it's like, you know,
that's true. That's true. Mm-hmm.
Tell me where the Bible addresses smoking. And I'm not saying it's okay.
Because somebody decided it was bad for us.
Wonderful pastor I sat under one time had a saying. He said, don't make a wisdom issue a sin issue.
Right.
Just because it's stupid doesn't necessarily mean it's a sin. But getting into whether it's a sin or whether it's not, I always just found the juxtaposition interesting. Somebody who was 300 pounds overweight would point their finger in my face
about
smoking a cigarette.
Right.
But can you imagine the explosion that would have taken place?
Oh,
I've right. just said,
right.
You're fat.
Right, right. Hey, listen, my son got called out on that when he was running. he was at Benning doing the boot camp rotations. A guy said to him, Captain, why can't I qualify in the rifle range? And my son goes, because you're fat, you can't get low enough to the ground. And the guy looks at him and goes, that hurt my feelings. He's like, I'm not here to be your friend. But he told him, you're fat, you can't get low enough to the ground.
Yeah, you can't.
And somebody said, somebody called him in and said, you can't say that. And Dave goes, he's fat, he can't get low enough to the ground.
You can say something like you shouldn't be smoking.
Yeah.
It is interesting.
Oh, you can walk up to a perfect stranger and say, you shouldn't be smoking.
Right. No,
walk up to a perfect stranger.
You're fat.
Walk up to a perfect stranger and say, you know, your butt looks like 2 hippos fighting under a blanket, and you're going to get shot.
I don't think that's the last word we want on here, Barb. You want Sorry.
Wrap it up. Barb needs a moment.
You okay, Barb?
Good. Oh, my gosh. All right. All right. I think we've solved C.S. Lewis's issues.
My own. I'll start breathing hot air if you
want. Oh, man. Now I can't. Yeah. How do I walk to the sanctuary without mental
Do you realize the sense of accomplishment one gets from doing that bar? You break her down like that?
Somebody else needs to close us in prayer. How about you, Ray?
Sure.
Yeah, but somebody isn't shaped like Mr. or Miss America.
Uh-huh.
We're God's creation.
Yes.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
But I think the gluttony we're referring to is when it makes you unhealthy.
I see it as prideful. I can use gluttony to, like I said, I just want a praise, or I want appreciation, or I want myself to be, I feel better now since I ate that cookie.
It is. That's exactly. Mm-hmm. As a stress eater, yeah.
I think we all got the point that C.S. Lewis was trying to get through.
But he was still weird, a weird way to get there.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right, Ray, close this up.
Heavenly Father, thanks so much for the good time we had together and a good talk we had about the gluttony and the self-will that we're looking for, Lord. And we just pray that as we leave here that we would look more to reaching people for you, Lord, rather than pointing people to us for the gluttony that we have in ourselves and in our own consciousness, Lord. And just thank you so much for all that we do, and dismiss us now with your blessing. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.